So if you haven't guessed already, I'm a bit bunged up, and there's nothing worse than listening to someone bunged up. So I apologise about it. I don't want to be bunged up either. But we'll get going. So we're going to be building on the very worried sparrow. I looked at the Mental Health Foundation. They had a recent survey, and the headline was, nearly half of adults in Britain feel stressed every day or every few days. 59% of British adults report their life is generally more stressful than it was 5 years ago. Money, with about 26%, and work-related issues, 28%, were given as the main cause of stress for Britons who have felt stressed. Reflected their health and safety executives' indication that there is a rise in sick days due to work-related stress. So you don't need me to tell you that it feels like stress is a big issue. And probably everything I'm about to say applies to me as much as anyone in the room. There are many physical symptoms and problems put down to stress. And indeed, it's right to go to the GP to talk about stress if it's an appropriate issue for you. However, it seems the stresses of life could drain the life out of you. I'd like to, if we could put a slide on. Oh, what's my done? So, Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. That's what the NIV says. I looked at a couple of other versions just to put it in a different way, perhaps. Peace of mind makes the body healthy. So, mind, stress, and the body, it's related. That's what an atheist doctor would tell you. But the Bible says that. The New Living Translation is, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life and a woman's life. Well, probably secular medical industry would say something along the similar lines. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but God has sort of said it. But perhaps we ought to refer to God first, actually. So if we want to have a lengthened life, we probably need to deal with our attitude, our stress. If we want a healthy body, he says, locked up, maybe we should look at our peace of mind and peace. So, if we want to have peace of mind, we want to have a relaxed attitude, we want to have our heart at peace, we want to have lower stress and increased peace of mind, but how? Psychologists would say there are sort of seven main areas of stress in life. And these are worry about things we need, work and work-related financial worries, problems with relational, emotional relationships, indecision, fifth one, loss, job, loved one, six, opposition, conflict, and seven, fear. Now, there's a chapter in the Bible which is sort of an antidote for stress. It's a classic text. It's Psalm 23, and I'd like to go through that with you this morning. So if we turn to Psalm 23 to look at the antidote of stress, or going from stressed to blessed. Let's read Psalm 23. It's only six verses long, and in there are seven habits to learn, affirmations, or ways of getting our stress to go down, reduce our stress. So let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so for many of you, that won't be a new chapter. In fact, it's a fairly significant or classic text. But I want to look at it from a point of view of taking lessons from that to look at seven ways to reduce stress in your life, which is one way of putting it. Go through it sort of verse by verse. The first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So I think the first issue from being stressed to blessed is to trust God to meet all your needs. Now, it's pretty strong words to act out. Stress comes when I look to other people or other things to meet my needs other than God. Now, that's pretty important. Stress comes when I look to other people or things to meet my needs other than God. If I look to someone else to meet my needs other than God, I'm going to be disappointed. And that person's going to be frustrated. There are needs in your life that only God can meet. Not your husband, your wife, your friend, your mother, your father, your brother. And worry and stress will come when you're looking to others to meet those needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Only God can meet all my needs, as he has all the resources. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we sang about this. We get frustrated because we expect our job to meet all our needs, or our marriage to meet all our needs, or our friends to meet all our needs, the government to meet all our needs, or myself to meet all my needs. And you're going to be disappointed, as only God can meet all your needs. I want to look at this verse. Romans 8 verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So, when you think how much we're worth to God, how much he's given up for us, the price he's paid for us, his son dying in our place, if you think he loves me so much that he sent Jesus to die for me, doesn't he love me enough to take care of my other needs in my life? So he's met the primary need, which is to be at one with God and to have eternal life. Doesn't he love me enough to take care of my other needs in my life? And with God, there's not big needs and small needs, they're just needs to God. They're all the same. And so, stress reduction starts with looking to God to meet my needs, not me or others. Getting it in the right place. So, trust God to meet all your needs is the first sort of step from this psalm. Then reading the second verse, it says, though it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. So the second part of reducing our stress is to obey God's instructions about rest. This is an area that many of us violate God's instruction. God says, I've got a lot to say about rest. And much stress comes from worry, but also from overworking. Some overwork because of insecurity. They want to get ahead. They need to catch up. I must do more. Some, there's a culture of overworking. But the pace of life wears you down because you're always working. But God created us. He knows us. I don't know if you've ever thought, he could have created us such that we didn't need to sleep. In fact, if I'd have created us, I might have thought, why waste a third of their life sleeping? Seems a waste. I'd just make them so they could work all the time or do whatever. But unfortunately, God created us and I didn't. We spend a third of our life sort of sleeping. We need to rest. God's wired us that way. And you can try and alter it, but actually that's the way we're wired. We need sleep. We need rest. And not only did God make us that way, he also modelled it. The Bible says in Genesis, on the seventh day, he rested. Now, God doesn't get tired. He doesn't need to rest, but he modelled it. He rested on the seventh day to model it for us. Just like we model for children. In fact, when I went to Vienna, and everybody, all the adults, obeyed the green man. They didn't step across the road. I was speaking to someone about it, and I said, no, the reason we do that is because if the children watch you go across, they'll go across. I think there's probably a lesson for us in this country about that. But it was the fact that they were modelling. God was modelling to us how we should behave. He was modelling that we should take a day off. The Sabbath is for us, isn't for God. And it's to keep us from burning out. Rest is so important that God put it in the top 10 and 10 commandments. It was along there with don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie. I mean, really big things. He said, and take a day off. Every time we don't take a full day off, we're breaking one of the 10 commandments. It's like, serious? I don't murder. I hear people say, yeah, but do you take your day off? And if you're not clever enough to do what God says and take a day off, then God could make you do it. The body will let you down or let you know that you need to take some time off, but it's generally a bit too late then. And if you don't take time off, your body will probably lay you up. Psalm 23, verse 2, he makes me lie down. So the body can make you lie down through illness. And sometimes, an expression I've heard, you need to be flat on your back to look up. Sometimes you need to be flat on your back to look up, to get things in the right perspective. And also, a great expression, my best requires rest. Just think about it. You need rest to do the best you can. Rest is a spiritual responsibility. It's not optional. It's a requirement. Interestingly enough, if you go to Exodus, because I can hear you things in your mind, or if you're anything like my mind, Exodus 34, verse 21, 6 days you shall labour, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the ploughing season and the harvest, you must rest. Now, even in the busiest seasons, but it's Christmas time and I own a shop, you've got to have a day off. But I'm an accountant, and it's the period, it's the year end, and so I've got to do the tax return. You've got to take a day off. I used to work on a farm when I was 15, and in the summer harvest, the farmer used to be watching the weather the whole time, because basically, if it was soaking wet, he couldn't harvest, but when it was bone dry, he wanted to get that grain in and get it indoors as soon as possible. And he was a Christian, and I used to help him. And it'd be boiling hot on the Sunday, and he still wouldn't harvest on the Sunday. He took this to the word. And yet, every year, he always got his harvest in. And actually, I remember being a youngster thinking, why aren't you going out there now? I'll come and help you. Come on, let's go. Well, no, I've got to have my rest. And he was very wise. He had the pressures of wanting to get the harvest in. And it's the same for all of us. We can think of something similar. Interestingly enough, during the French Revolution, about 1792, they abolished the day off. They wanted to remove the seven-day calendar. They wanted an atheist calendar. They removed the day off. Within 3 years later, they'd reverted back to the 7 day. And part of it was because of the nation's health. So 1792, you could go look that up. Some say, I feel guilty when I'm relaxing. Jesus didn't. He'd often say to the disciples, come on, let's go up the mountain. Or let's come apart, let's go to the lake. Let's go into the garden. Let's set apart or come apart for a while for prayer or whatever. And there was the expression, you should set apart or you will come apart. But we've got to take time off. Mark, here, the pastor here, he takes his day off on a Monday. And great, he's modelling it as well, isn't he? But he's obeying it for his own benefit because God says and he knows best. But for Mark, his day off on Monday, so really as a church we should avoid trying to call upon him on a Monday, unless it's socially. He's taking his time out on Monday. Okay, so I'm taking my day off. What should I do? What is a day off? What does it mean? Put forward some proposals or obvious. What should I do on a Sabbath, on my day off? I should rest my body. This isn't rocket science. Physically got to rest my body. Want to refocus my spirit through worship, through fellowship, through praise, through prayer, through confession, through studying God's word, and lots of that is the best time coming to church, meeting with others, fellowshipping and praising and learning from God. And recharge my emotions. So this is where it might be different for different people. Whatever is for you may be an irritation to someone else. In fact, somebody else might say, that's work, I don't want to do that. Gardening, God, blow. Or I don't want to do cooking. Can't think of anything worse on my day off. For some people, that's how they recharge their emotions on that day. You've got to work it out for yourself. Meeting family. So it's really important. We've got to think about this rest. Anybody would think rest was easy. But it's about resting our body, refocusing our spirit, and recharging our emotions. We've got to obey God's instruction about having rest. And when we're resting, we're trusting God with everything, aren't we? To take care of our needs. Can't do everything. We can't do everything. We're not superhuman, whereas God is. So we've got to trust God to meet all our needs and obey God's instruction about rest. God supplies all our needs and God knows us and knows how we're made. And so his instructions about rest are really important if we want to reduce the stress and worry in our lives. The third way of reducing stress is to recharge your soul with beauty. This is a strange thing to say. God's made nature beautiful. Those flowers are beautiful. I might not be beautiful, but those flowers definitely are beautiful. Those flowers over there. Sunrise, sunsets, you've seen them, they're beautiful. Mountains, fields, trees, beaches. God could have made the earth like the moon. Basic deserty type. But he didn't. He made the earth filled with beauty for his glory and for our enjoyment and our health. Beauty improves your health. That's a strange thing to say. Makes you feel healthier. Let's read Psalm 23. Those verses again. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You can easily picture that, can't you? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. You can easily picture the green pastures now, can't you? And the quiet waters, that nice lake, quiet waters. And it's relaxing just thinking about it, isn't it? It's refreshing and relaxing. In February, we went, Ben's here, but we went on holiday to the Yorkshire Dales, and I was, if I'm honest, I was a little bit worried about it, because it was going to be a walking holiday. Got two teenage boys and a 10-year-old. They're going to have withdrawal symptoms from their electronics. We're going to go for a walk through the Yorkshire Dales. And it was fabulous. It was chilly, but it was fabulous. We went for, the boys all loved it. Much to my surprise, shows you. And just the beauty of the Yorkshire Dales and the hills, mountains, sheep, fields. When I describe it like that, you think, why was it so good? It's just lovely. And I felt really refreshed and relaxing, walking fresh air out there. Even the expression saying fresh air. But we were walking around the fields. It was fantastic. Often people say they feel closer to God in such place in nature. They're exactly the same distance from God as anywhere else. Even in the worst sort of drugs den, God is there. You're not any closer to God wherever you are, but there is a sense of, because God is with you if you're a Christian, is living in you. But when you see beauty, you feel you appreciate God's creation, and that beauty recharges the soul. The sense of recharging the soul is really strong when you're near such beauty. Man was created to live in a garden, not a skyscraper. And so if you're not living in a garden or you're far away, then you become a bit stressed. People at work probably should go out and have lunch in a park. I think that's probably a good thing to do, and I do that occasionally. I need to do it more. In nature, you see beauty and you're recharged. Not just in nature, though. There's beauty in music. Handel's Messiah. That's inspired. But there's great music, and there's beauty in that. There's beauty in art and literature. In fact, music and art are great, two excellent arguments against evolution. There's no point to them. Why would you have them if you're an evolutionist? But enjoyment and recharging your soul. There's more songs about Jesus. There's more art dedicated to Jesus than any other subject. There's more books about Jesus than any other subject. Beauty is made by God for us because he knows that beauty sort of satisfies and recharges us. You're very much like your creator when you're being creative. We need art and music and beauty in our lives and crafts and cooking. And so people say, well, I'm not creative. I think God said that probably before now. But actually, we can be. And we need to look for that beauty around us to recharge us. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I looked at the message to see how that said the very same thing. It said, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. So this whole thing about beauty and praiseworthy and excellent. Because of sin, there are lots of things around us and in the world that are not excellent or praiseworthy. They're ugly. You can see that on television. Certain things on television can cause you stress. We need beauty, not ugliness. We hear lots of negative programs. Don't relieve you from stress, they increase it. Whatever you give your attention to, your focus to, well, that will determine your levels of stress. How do you start your day, for example? Do you start it with God's word, Christian worship, music, before you look at texts and emails? I have to say, Heather was fantastic here, because I'm not a morning person. I'm a bit miserable first thing in the morning. Like to maximise time in bed, minimise, you know, anything else. So Heather, it's fair play to her, challenged me about this. She's not here, so I can say it. So we worked through what would be good. And so now what we do, we listen for 10 minutes of a daily, what do you call it, a daily message for 10 minutes. It's fabulous. So there is an element of me being idle and lazy. I don't have to read. The guy even reads out the verses from the Bible for me. And I lie there and I'm listening. And that 10 minutes now, what I had to do was put my alarm clock 10 minutes earlier. But it's great. And it really warms me up, literally, to get going. Really great. I'm starting my day with God, not media. Because before that, the first thing I do was open iPhone and see what's gone wrong overnight at work. And I'd have to go and sort it. But now I'm starting with God. And then I can look at the text if I deal with that. But I'm starting with God. So I'm starting with God, not media or work. We should try and get outside every day. We should take up some form of art, music. That one's probably out for me, unfortunately. Don't have a musical bone in my body, but I can appreciate the music and listen to it. Creative craft. Add beauty in our life. When we go to Cromer, I love walking on the beach, even in the middle of winter. Why do I love walking on the beach? Because it's just beautiful. I've seen a seal sort of 20 foot away from me. The water, the rocks, the seashell, how beautiful. God has created that, and probably, you know, a large proportion of those shells nobody will see. And yet, that's beauty. All around us, we should be looking out for that beauty, because it recharges our soul. Recharge your soul with beauty. Go for a walk. So far, to reduce our stress and become more blessed, we're saying trust God to meet all our needs. Don't trust anybody else. Obey God's instruction about rest. You've got to work at that, ironically. Recharge your soul with beauty. So now perhaps you understand what I mean when I say that. So the next source of stress, indecision. Have a decision to, if you have a decision, go first to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, we read earlier. What direction do I need to take in this fork in the road? Indecision can paralyse you. But we should ask God what we need to do. You remember a couple of years ago I talked about guidance, so I won't go into this hugely. It's a sermon on its own, or a number of sermons. But James 1:5, I mean, hear it loud and clear. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So we should ask for God for guidance, for wisdom, and we'll get it. Psalm 23 verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me. I'm stressed when I don't know what I'm meant to be doing about, I know, this relationship, this job offer, any choice, God will guide us. He will take away that stress if we turn to Him and go to God for guidance. So, great. One other common source of stress actually is loss. Loss of reputation, loss of health, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, and we all go through loss, and it causes stress. There are two reactions to loss, one good, one bad. So the first one is grief. That's good. You must go through grief. If you don't, get stuck. And the other reaction is fear. So grief is good. Jesus wept when one of his friends died, and they told him. He knew much more about it, but he still wept. It's a godly emotion, grief. It's good to go through grief. It gets you through the loss at a set stage. Not once does the Bible say, cry not, grieve not. But it does say, fear not. In fact, it says it 365 times, apparently. So that's one for every day of the year. Fear not. That maybe tickle that was. Grieving helps, but fear about what you're going to do without your loved one, about what you're going to do about your job, your health, they will paralyse you. They will give you stress. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, trust God in dark valleys. So when you're a child, shadow sisters scare you, I'm sure. They scare lots of children. Rod and a staff, they're the tools of a shepherd, and they comfort the sheep. You just touch the sheep, tells it go that way, but they're sort of, oh yeah, the shepherd's connected with the sheep. They're a comfort. But also, they're a tool for warding off wolves and the like. So they're standard tools of a shepherd. And God here is saying, I am your protector. You do not need to worry about this. So for a shadow, there needs to be a light. And if you're scared of the shadow, you can turn your back on it and face the light. Now, what happened on the same holiday in the Yorkshire Dales, Heather and myself decided to walk back. Mother-in-law was with us. She looked after the children. Decided to walk back from a restaurant in the next village on. Well, it was a long way off. It was pitch black when we walked back, and there were no street lights. But it was full moon. And we walked back, and if I'm slightly honest, your mind plays tricks on you, and I heard noises and saw shadows and started to feel a little bit freaked out, and I obviously couldn't admit that in front of Heather, but I think we ought to get a move on, Heather. So we walked a bit faster. But the moon was great. It gave us a lot of light. And this whole idea of, well, actually, the moon's there, the light's there, the shadows are over there, so turn my back on the shadow and face the light and carry on going in that direction. So there's that real sense of picture of turn your back on what's is scaring you and face the light, which is God. It's a real great picture there. Looking towards God for these scary times, these problems. The problems of finances or emotional problems or spiritual relational issues should turn our back on the shadow and gaze at the light, at God. Jesus said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Trust God in... I am the light of the world, Jesus said. So we should trust God in dark valleys. Psalm 142, verse 3, other Psalm David, other locations, he said, when my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who knows my way. That's what the NIV says. another sort of way of putting it is, when I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. So we've talked about guidance, but also when we're in dark valleys and there's problems, we should turn to God. That's not ignoring the problem, but it's turning to God for the help for that problem. So that's really tying, go to God for guidance, but also trusting God in the dark valleys. And remembering that grief is the right thing to go through, is a godly emotion. Fear is what paralyzes you. Trusting in God. Okay, so two more things to relieve stress. The next one, we heard from the psychologist, was about conflict causes stress. Other people criticize you, judge you, oppose you. It might be office politics, might be village politics, might be someone in your family, might be someone that berates you constantly, might be a parent or a child who never lets you have a success in life, might be someone who's always negative to you, someone who's always picking on you. Conflict causes you to doubt yourself and be discouraged. Opposition causes you to be depressed. If you listen to it, you can be defeated. The Bible says that Satan is the accuser of Christians. His job is to discourage you. Often he doesn't need to do it, as there's others around that will do it for him. But common source of stress is conflict, opposition and criticism. And then you can feed those doubts. Psalm 23 verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. So, anointing my head with oil in front of enemies, God saying, back off, this one's mine. I will put my blessing on you in front of others, people who don't like you, but you have to trust me. You have to let me be your defender. So we should let God be your defender. If you think about it, David was writing this psalm, and David had a bit of a history. David was anointed by Samuel as to be the king of Israel. He was anointed in private, though. Nobody knew, it was just the family. Many years later, David was hiding, running from the king Saul, being maligned, unjustifiably attacked. And David could have said, hang on a minute, I thought I was anointed to be the king. But as we've been looking at the Bible studies during the week, God was getting David ready for greater blessing. He was training him. If we look at some of the other psalms that David wrote, one psalm here. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield. So Psalm 23, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. If I leave God to defend me, then my stress goes down and my joy goes up. Who do you want to defend you? Do you want you to defend you, or do you want God? If you say, well, I will, God will say, crack on. But if you let God, he has all the power and resources, as I said before. What that person says about me is not true. When someone attacks you, you want to do something about it. You want to attack back. When someone puts you down or criticises, you want to get even. Someone gives you a bloody nose, you want to give them one back. That's the natural man. It takes a lot of faith to rest in God instead of taking matters into your own hands. You are like Christ when you refuse to defend yourself. Jesus spent whole of his life being criticised, maligned, attacked. Everywhere he went, people opposed him. In fact, the religious people opposed him the most. And that's Jesus we're talking about. So even if you were perfect, which you're not, you will have conflict, attacks, put downs, opposition, people maligning you, misunderstanding you. At this time of the internet, there's permanent words out there that just don't go away, written down. Social media. But you shall return good for evil. Stress goes down and joy goes up when you let God defend you. Might need to encourage it to move on, Peter. Thank you. So let God be your defender rather than you defend him. Right, the last common source of stress is fearing the future. Some people are passive, some people are active, some people want to get it done, other people let it happen, but both need to trust God when it, preparing, when considering the future. What if that happens? What if this happens? Raises the stress. If you look at Psalm 23, verse 6, the last verse. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can't control everything that happens to me, but ultimately, God is taking me home to heaven. You can't stop that. As the hymn said, which we sang earlier, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If God saved me, he will keep me. No one can pluck me from his hand. I didn't save myself, and I can't lose my salvation. God saved me, and he keeps me safe. So, to reduce my stress, I must remember that what God finishes what he starts. So there's the seven ways of being stressed to blessed. We should trust God to meet all our needs. That's really difficult. But it should be easy. Obey God's instruction about rest. Got to work up that. Recharge your soul with beauty. Get out and see it. Go to God for guidance. Don't be paralyzed by indecision. Trust God in dark valleys, because they will come. Let God be your defender. And remember, God finishes what he starts. Now, there's a little bit of paper with those 7 points on in front of most of the seats. If not, there's some spare at the front. Just to remind you, and take that away so you can meditate on. I'd like to just pray now about that, and then we'll obviously have to sing Psalm 23. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to have peace of mind. We want to have a lengthened and healthy life. We want to be less stressed and more blessed. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is clear to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to trust you to meet all our needs. Heavenly Father, help us to obey your instructions on rest. Help us to rest. Help us to find ways that we recharge our emotions. Help us to refocus on our spirit. Help us to rest our bodies. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us to see beauty, to recharge our soul. We thank you for the beauty that you so readily put around us. Help us to really be creative and to see beauty and create beauty around us. Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom. We seem to lack it so much, Heavenly Father. We pray, we thank you that you don't, you encourage us to ask for it, and we want to have that wisdom to know what to do about those things in the coming week. Heavenly Father, We also trust you in the dark valleys. Heavenly Father, we'd much rather avoid them if we could, but we know there will be times where there will be dark valleys, that picture. Lord, and we help us to grieve where we need to, but definitely, Heavenly Father, help us not to fear and to trust in you. Heavenly Father, we also want you to be our defender. We are so quick to defend ourselves. Heavenly Father, give us that mind to let you be our defender. And Lord, we just rest in the fact that you finish what you started. Heavenly Father, you have given us eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Amen.